In a world full of voices, blocking out the noise is vital. The Bible is clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, this show is dedicated to providing you with a clear sound of the Scriptures, which are inspired by the Spirit of God and passed down by apostles and prophets. I am your host, Delivering the Heat, Gerald Joseph, a preacher and avid student of the Word, and you are now listening to the Holy Fuel Podcast. Hello there. Welcome one more time to the Holy Fuel Podcast. So glad you've decided to tune in once again. And as you know, it is the year 2024. Wow. I feel like I'm getting old with every passing year, as I guess I really am. However, it's amazing that the Lord has brought us through another year. 2023 was a year that I never quite imagined it would be. Nonetheless, I'm thankful for where the Lord has brought us from. I'm thankful for everything the Lord has in store for us in the new year. One thing that I know is always the same is that Jesus Christ is the constant in my life. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I always know that I can count on the Lord to see me through, no matter where I am, no matter what situation I may find myself in. So I am absolutely thankful that the Lord is still with us in 2024. And to everyone listening, I hope you feel the same, that despite what 2023 has brought you or has done to you or so on and so on, God is still on the throne. He's still the same, and He remains constant and faithful in our lives. So we have all the hope that we need to make it through another year. So, Happy New Year's, y'all. And as promised, we are diving into this episode. Now, as I stated in our previous episode, we will continue our journey through Joshua after this. However, I wanted to start off the year with this message. So today, we're going to cut to the chase, and we'll get straight into it. My main scripture today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. And here's what it says. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And I'm just going to entitle this one, All or Nothing. Once again, that's all or nothing. Because the reality is this: one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the question that will be pondered is this: with what we have been given by God, what have we done with it? You see, in Christ, we have new life. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, we must have introspection. And what we must ponder is, are we truly giving him our all, or are we leaving some on the table? You see, the epistles of Paul teach us a great lesson in Christian living. And there's always this challenge that the apostle puts out. It's like he says in 1 Corinthians 9, run in such a way that you may receive a prize. He tells Timothy, fight the good fight, lay hold of eternal life. That's 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. You see, Paul is constantly trying to get his listeners to strive for mastery, to strive to live a life that is pleasing to God, that goes above and beyond, that gives it everything you've got. Because this walk with God is not simply about us having a free ticket out of fire. But truly, we have been reconciled to God. And in being reconciled to God, we ought to make it our absolute aim to live this out. Because all that we need is all that we have. And what we have is Jesus in our lives at the forefront. And because he is in our lives, we ought to give it all. It's going to have to be all or nothing. You see, Paul, what's amazing about Paul is that he didn't only admonish others, but he also lived by the same rules himself. Why? Here's why. Because the quality of his service to Christ and to the church of God was vitally important to him. For him, it was going to be all or nothing. And when Paul got into this wonderful faith, you know the story of Paul. He was a persecutor of the church. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But whenever he got into this, everything that used to be an asset to him, everything that Paul once counted to be the repertoire of his life, he considered it as loss. All of his assets became liabilities, all for Christ. He decided that if he was going to be in this thing, he was going to do it with the zeal that he persecuted the church with. He was going to do it with all that he had. He was going to run this race that was set before him. Are you giving it all, or are you leaving some on the table? That's my question for you, because this walk is going to be all or nothing. See, to the church of Philippi, here's what Paul said. He said, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. You see, for Paul, it was all about giving it all to God. He did not leave anything on the table. And by the time he's approaching his certain death, we find Paul with the same vigor and attitude. It reminds me of Caleb, because Caleb in the Old Testament, he said, give me now this mountain, because I still have the same vigor and power now as I had 40 years ago. Listen, it's going to have to be all or nothing. You can't leave anything on the table when you are walking and living this life for God. Here's what Paul says at the end of his life. You see, he said he's being poured to the church at Philippi, but what he says to Timothy as he leaves his great legacy behind, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Listen, Paul had that same vigor in him, that he was never going to quit. He was never going to give it just some. He was always going to give it all that he had. It's going to be all or nothing for Paul. And Paul, we see that from the beginning to the end, he gave it everything. He didn't leave anything on the table. He had no intentions of leaving anything on the table. That constant declaration was one of service to the people of God and one of a yearning for Christ. You see, he lived as one who was torn in between the two. He said, on one hand, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, but on the other hand, to be present meant that I can edify the people of God. I can give you all that I have because I am here with you. He was torn. There was this kind of, what's the way to put it? There was this kind of stretching that happened in Paul's life, because as much as he yearned to be away, as much as he yearned to be dead so that he could be present with Christ, yet when he was present with the people of God, he vowed to give it his all. And we need to gain the same perception on this life. We need to have the same hold on this life, that it is going to be all or nothing. I'm admonishing you, don't leave anything on the table. Give it all for Christ. If you have been called by his name, if you have been redeemed, if the Son has set you free, you ought to give it all for him. You see, Paul said this: if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. According to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13, he said, in other words, I should say it like this: if our life of devotion looks crazy, we want all the onlookers to understand that it's for God. If I look like I am out of my mind, you ought to know I'm out of my mind for Christ. You ought to know I am losing it. I'm crazy for Jesus, and nothing else in this world is going to captivate my mind or my attention like Jesus has. Like Paul said, I'm trying to lay hold of the one who has laid hold of me. If we look nuts, understand why we look nuts. We look nuts for Jesus. If we worship like we never worshiped before, we do it for Jesus. If we give it all, we give it all for Jesus. Listen, if I look crazy to you, remember it's for God. It's not for anyone else. It is for God. It's for the one who has grabbed a hold of me. It's for the one who rescued me from all the misery that I experienced. It's the one that called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. If my life looks crazy, understand it's crazy for him. But I'm telling you this, if it looks coherent, if it looks like it's of a sound mind, if it looks tamed and under control, understand that that's for you, that you would know him who can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, that you could know the one who can save your soul, that you can know the one who has rescued us from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of the enemy. It's so you can know him. If you ever consider me to be coherent, if you ever consider me to be of a sound mind, it's for you. But if you see me as crazy, understand it's for God. If you don't understand just how somebody can give it all and give their life to the work and will of God, just understand this. If you know what he's done for you, you would give it all for him, because Jesus is worthy of it all. You see, if we're beside ourselves, it's for God. And if we're of a sound mind, it's for you. You see, why? Why do we do the crazy things that we do? Why do we worship the way we do? Why do we serve the way we do? Why do we preach the way we do? Why do we do everything the way we do? Why? Paul gives us the answer, actually. He said, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's verse 14 and 15. You see, we're out of our minds because we know what Jesus has done for us. It's like that woman who was at the feet of Jesus while he was in Simon's house. And what was so interesting is that Jesus said, those who love much, it's because they have been forgiven of much. Listen, I don't want you to see somebody else's praise the same way ever again, because if they look like they are out of their mind, just understand you don't know where they have been. You don't know what they have been through. You don't know what they have experienced. You don't know where Christ has rescued them from. So listen, don't you dare ever look down on somebody's worship or praise, but always remember there is a story behind that. And if you only knew what Jesus has done, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. Listen, he is the one who has called us. He's the one that has given it all for us, and he's gone on record. He's given his life so that we could be rescued. And so the love of Christ compels us. It compels us to give it all, to not leave anything on the table. It compels us to live this life that is pleasing to him. You see, Jesus gave it all for us. So my question is, what is the value that you ought to place on what you give to him? You see, I'm reminded of King David when he took a census of Israel. And the Lord was upset with David's evil, and he gave him the option of the judgment. He gave him three choices. He said, you can experience famine, you can be given into the hands of the enemies, or you can be given to the plague by the hand of the Lord. And David was not willing to fall into enemy hands. He was only willing to fall in the hands of God. And get this, this is why, because of his great mercies. And so as the story continues and goes on, what we find is that the angel of the Lord begins to inflict judgment all throughout Israel. And this is supposed to be for only 3 days. And when he came to destroy Jerusalem, God commanded the angel to stop. And at this point, the angel was standing by the threshing floor of a man named Ornan. And it was at this threshing floor that the Lord would command David to build an altar. But something peculiar happens. You see, Ornan offers his threshing floor to King David at no charge, and he also offers to provide the sacrifices for David so that the wrath of God can be stayed and satisfied. But you ought to listen to David's response, and this ought to be our mantra, the mantra of our lives for God. David said this, "No, but I will surely buy it for full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. I will not sacrifice to God what costs me nothing." You see, living for God is going to be a sacrifice, and we cannot be cheapskates when it comes to this life that we live for him. We cannot be bare minimalists. we cannot be those who only do just enough to quote unquote make it. No, we need to give it all or nothing. We can't leave anything on the table. You see, Jesus likened the kingdom to a man who found treasure in a field. And what he ends up doing is that he sells everything that he has and he buys the field. I'm asking you, what is the value of what you have measured out to Jesus? Is it all or is it nothing? Listen, we ought not to cheap out on this Christian walk. This commitment to Christ is going to require all of you. See, Jesus said this, because there was a great multitude that went with him. And you know, that's the nature of this monster. There are many people who want to call on the name of Christ. There are many people who want a free handout. There are many people who want all the benefits that comes with this, but they are not willing to count the cost. And this is what Jesus said. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. What does this commitment to Jesus cost you? Because I tell you this, it's going to be all or it's going to be nothing. You see, Jesus is the type that will let someone walk away. Jesus is not going to force you to follow him. He's not going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to do any of that. Always remember, he let the rich young ruler walk away. Why? Because he was not willing to sell all that he had and follow Jesus. It's going to be all or nothing. And you want to know why? Because Jesus gave it all for us. See, your devotion to God cannot be half-hearted. He wants it all. See, the first scripture I remember as a child, I was in vacation Bible school, and it was Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, and it says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In this walk with God, lukewarmness will not do. We must fervently and wholeheartedly follow after God, because we are going to be rewarded or we are going to suffer loss at the great judgment seat of Christ. And it's all going to be based on the quality of the work in the quality of the life that we have lived for God. You can't do this half-heartedly. It's going to have to be all or nothing. And so let me land this plane. I want to join with the words of Paul. It says this in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, in this new life that we have in Jesus, it's all or nothing. Don't leave anything on the table. Give God your all. Because at the end of this thing, or as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I want to encourage you, especially in this new year. Don't leave anything on the table, because in this, it's all or nothing. And so I hope that you would give it your all, because Jesus gave his all for us. So as always, I want to say God bless you. We love you. And peace. Thank you for tuning in to the show. This was the Holy Fuel Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, but always remember, His Word is the fuel for holiness.